11, chapter 11, we're going to be in verses 1 through 13. Mark that, and then also mark Luke 18, 1 through 8. David's been going through the parables the last few weeks, and today we're going to be looking at another two parables. And both of these are about prayer. This is a little passage from a book on prayer by a pastor named Tim Keller. And he said in the book, "Even deliberately non-religious people pray at times. Studies have shown in secularized countries, prayer continues to be practiced not only by those who have no religious preference, but even by many of those who do not believe in God. One 2004 study found that nearly 30% of atheists admitted they prayed sometimes, and another found that 17% of non-believers in God pray regularly. The frequency of prayer increases with age, even among those who do not return to church or identify with any institutional faith. Italian scholar Giuseppe Gordon summarized it, "In virtually all studies of the sociology of religion, behavior, it is clearly apparent that a very high percentage of people declare they pray every day, and many say even many times a day." We've all heard that saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, because even the unbelievers realize when things are hard, prayer is important. How important would you say is prayer in our relationship with God? If prayer is proper communication with God, how do we get better at it? The importance of communication reminds me of a story of missed communication, or of miscommunication. And it's a story of a rather old-fashioned lady, and she was planning a couple weeks vacation in Florida. She also was quite delicate and elegant with her language. And she wrote a letter to the campground. She was asking for reservations, and she wanted to make sure the campground was fully equipped, but didn't know how to ask where the toilet facility was. Now, she just couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in her letter. You know, and after much deliberation, she finally came up with the rather old-fashioned term, bathroom commode. But when she wrote that down, she still thought it seemed a little forward. So she started the letter all over again, rewrote the entire thing, and referred to it as not as bathroom commode, but simply as BC. Does the campground have its own BC? Is actually what she wrote. Well, the campground owner wasn't old-fashioned at all. And when he got the letter, he couldn't quite figure out what exactly she was talking about. The BC she wrote really kind of stumped him. And after worrying about it for several days, he showed the letter to other campers. And they couldn't figure out what in the world she was talking about either. That campground owner finally came to the conclusion that the lady must be talking about the local Baptist church. So, we all know where this is going, right? And he writes in response, "Dear Madam, I regret very much to delay in answering your letter, but I now take pleasure of informing you that the BC is located 9 miles of the campsite and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I admit it is quite a distance away if you're in the habit of going regularly, but no doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make a day of it. they usually arrive early and stay late. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago. And it was so crowded, we had to stand up the whole time we were there. It may interest you to know that right now there is a supper plan to raise money to buy more seats. They plan to hold the supper in the middle of the BC so everyone can watch and talk about this great event. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to come more regularly. But it surely is not for the lack of desire on my part. As we go older, it seems to be more and more of an effort, particularly in cold weather. If you decide to come down to the campground, perhaps I will go with you for the first time and sit with you and introduce you to all the other folks, because this is a really very friendly community. So that really kind of highlights the importance of communication. If prayer is communication with God, how is God calling us to communicate with him? That is what we are to address this morning. That's what I'm trying to address this morning. So let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 11 of the book of Luke. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we have also forgiven everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Here we have the disciples asking the really important question. How are we to communicate with God? How are we to address God, and what does he expect for us in conversation? And Jesus gives them a model for a prayer. And like the apostle says in Philippians 4:6, "By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Jesus is calling us to first come to God in praise and thanksgiving in ways in which he's already blessed us before we come to God with our present needs. You know, it's really easy for us to just come to God with a, you know, divine shopping list. But we're to petition God. We're supposed to ask him for what we need, but we've got to do it in proper order. God wants a relationship with us. Now, for those of us that have spouses, imagine that you just came to them with a bunch of demands and requests and you know, honey-do lists. But you weren't showing them devotion or love. Would that be a very healthy relationship? That wouldn't work out very well, would it? I don't know if either of you would be very happy. Too often, that's kind of how we come to God. But we need to praise and thank God before we start with our own needs. Jesus also is telling us to pray for our daily bread. Here in the West, here in America, daily provision is not something we, most of us, have to worry about. This is a fairly wealthy country in comparison to other places. Even in Jesus' day, you know, the idea of making sure they have provision or finding provision, making sure they have their daily bread, that was a daily goal. And for us, even though it's difficult to rely on God when we already have, most of us have enough of what we need, we still have to try to rely on God. We have to trust in him for our provision, for our continued provision. You know, the 401k, the stocks, some of those things, you know, that we can tend to rely on, those things can easily be taken away. We have to continue to come back to God for our continued provision into the future. Jesus then tells us to pray for forgiveness of sin and to give forgiveness to others. I tell you now that we need to keep short accounts with God. We got to keep coming back and confessing sin to God and asking God for forgiveness. Next, he calls us to pray for protection from the enemy, Satan, the devil. Now, while God might allow testing in our lives, God does allow testing of our faith. But God also has given us everything we need to pass that test. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we've been given what we need to obey God. Jesus goes also on next to tell of a parable, and it starts in verse 5 of Luke 11. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." In this parable, Jesus is calling us to persistent prayer, to continued prayer, to passionate prayer. Even though we may not get an answer right away, we keep praying. We have to keep our request constantly before God. You know, having faith, he's going to answer it. Me and my wife, Tammy, our constant prayer that we continue to put before God is the continued discipleship and continued faith on into the future, into adulthood of our daughter. I think a lot of us parents, that's our continued prayer. Or maybe even grandparents for their grandkids. Is there something you need to come back to in prayer? Maybe a prayer you gave up too quickly. As we pray, sometimes God might not answer that prayer right away. We can rest assured that that's good reasons for allowing those sometimes to happen. Because as we persist in prayer, prayer tends to change us and grow us, and we grow in character and hope and faith. And you know what? Children really know the power of persistence in asking. Many of us, if we've given our child the reason to believe that they can wear us down, that they will plead and beg relentlessly. And they will do whatever they can get away with to get what they want. They're persistent. God's calling us to persistence. You know, we don't need to wear down God. God's not calling us to wear us down because we don't have to. God loves us. And he's available all the time. If the individuals in these parables responded to constant pressure, how much more will our loving Father in heaven respond to our prayers and faith? Let me say that again. If the individuals in these parables responded to constant pressure, how much more will our loving Father in heaven respond to our prayers in faith? Let's turn now to Luke 18. Hopefully you marked that page too. And we're going to be in Luke 18, 1, 1, verses 1 through 8. I'll give you a minute here. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly.'" Along with persistence, another thing we can learn from these parables is a boldness in prayer. These were bold requests. They kept coming back over and over again. In the first parable, he came back at middle of the night. Somebody came to my door in the middle of the night. I have to admit, I'd have a hard time even answering the door. But we can come before God with bold prayers. And we can come before God with bold requests. How many have come before God with a bold request? Maybe it's that job that you didn't think you were qualified for. Something else that's just it's bold. It's an audacious request. How many have had just bold questions? God's not afraid of our bold questions. How many have wondered why some bad things happen to otherwise faithful believers? I'm sure a lot of us had those questions at times. Maybe why a spouse or parent or a child passed away. God's not offended by these questions. So we know, you know, we may not like the answer we get sometimes, but we can ask those questions. The characters in these parables were bold. And I'm calling you today, Jesus is calling us to bold prayers. When was the last time you came to God with a bold request, a request that we were just passionately and persistently praying? I think a lot of us sometimes give up too quickly. I'm myself included in that. You know, it's like we have like a prayer ADHD. You know, we can't stick to it long term. And there's really a lot of room for spiritual growth within those times of vigilant prayer. God continuously grows us again, coming back even to those prayers that have delays in being answered. God has reasons for those things. Let's go back to chapter 11, and let's pick it up in verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? For he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" These verses really highlight God's character towards us in prayer. portrays God as a loving father. It tells us we can seek, ask, and knock. You see a progression here of persistence and boldness. And we can have that, we can have faith that God's going to answer our prayers. It says, if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we find. If we knock, the door will be opened. And in verses 11 through 13, shows us, even as imperfect fathers, we could give good gifts to our children. I know I love my daughter. I can only imagine how much more a perfect God, perfect love, how much he must love us. And how much more will a perfect Father in heaven answer those that ask? Now we have to ask, does that mean that God's going to give us everything we ask for? Is he, you know, just a genie in the sky? No. Remember, the Apostle Paul laments that he was given a thorn in his flesh. Three times he prayed, and God said, "My grace is sufficient." See, persistence in prayer has a way of changing our prayers. We begin to pray for not our will, but God's will. And I think that's the crux of the matter. The more we pray, the more we fall in line with God's will. And we need to pray to the point of indifference. It'd be quite a shame if our faith was shipwrecked by an unanswered prayer. We need to keep coming back and giving those things to God, and we have to pray to the point where whether God answers it with a yes or a no, or we're thanking God no matter what. Praying, "Not my will, but your will, God." So the pattern for our prayer is praise. Praising God, thanking God, and asking God. We pray with persistence, knowing God is a loving Father, and he answers our prayers. And finally, again, we must pray to the point of indifference and continue to seek God's will. As the church, we are ultimately seeking God's kingdom come and his will be done. Question. Do you pray with passion and persistence? What does your prayer life look like? Do you pray expectantly? This morning I ask, are there any prayers that you need to come back to? Is there anything that you gave up on too quickly? God wants you to continue to pray for a little more passionately, a little more persistently. There's times I've prayed in my life, just, you know, sometimes with just discontentments at work and things like that. But you know what? I don't think I prayed of it passionately enough, that God would change my heart in the midst of it. I even prayed that, you know, I'd be able to change jobs. But you know what? I don't know if I prayed about it passionately or persistently. And it's so easy to do. Along with Scripture, prayer is our way of communicating with God. It's so important. How has your communication been with God? Before we close in prayer, I want us to sit and think about this for a minute. Listen to God. Is there anything that he wants you to come back to in prayer? Anything you need to be praying persistently? I'm going to have you close your eyes. I just want to take out just a minute. Just think about it. Listen to God. What is God speaking to you right now? Ways, some things that you need to be praying about more. Praying about it more persistently. with more passion. So go ahead and close your eyes. Let's think about this, and let's listen to God. All right. With everyone stand, we'll close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for giving us prayer and your scripture, Lord, for us to be able to constantly keep in communication with you, Lord. I pray that we would keep coming back to the Lord's Prayer, keep seeing that pattern, Lord, that we'll learn from it and grow from it, Lord. I pray that we grow from delayed answers to prayers, Lord. Pray that you give us strength in our faith. We bring us joy in the midst of even difficult times, Lord. It's last year and on into this year, things have been hard. Things are getting better, Lord. I just pray for just wisdom for us, Lord, and guidance. Guidance for our leaders, Lord. I pray we'll be able to get things open back up, Lord, in this country. I just pray for just continued wisdom for our leaders, Lord. I pray for growth for this congregation, Lord, that people will be continued to be sanctified, Lord. Continue to grow in their walk with you, and they grow closer to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let me remind you, some of you guys in here probably need answers to prayers today. And I'm inviting you now to boldly come up and let me pray with you. And all those that have been regularly coming here, you're, you know, members of this church. And if you're new to the church, you're a guest. So please, members, make the guests feel welcome. And I think there's going to be refreshments next door. So you're welcome to go ahead and go over there. Or if you need prayer, I'll be available. Thank you, guys.